Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much to Carlos Carson for sitting in studio with us in the last hour. Now the 47th member of the Chiefs Hall of Fame, so congratulations to Carlos Carson. Congratulations to Gary Lezak for actually giving us the weather. That's very impressive. Later on, Mike Boddicker will be very angry about something at 9:05. So look forward to that, and we will preview Game 7 of the World Series between the Astros and the Dodgers. You can hear it right here tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But right now, we have the captain who has been nice enough to join us on the show throughout the season. And now he's in studio with us, Mr. Matt Beisler. Matt, good morning. How are you?
I'm terrific, Stephen. Good morning.
I know you're very excited to be in front of the studio audience. It's a very warm reception.
I have to say, Carlos, I don't know if his ears are healthy because the volume is turned up.
Right. Well, you know what?
Max.
He like to crank it, that's all.
Just wait till you get our age, man.
That's not his fault.
I respect that.
Whose fault is that?
It's usually a Curtis Siebold.
Okay.
That's his.
He seemed like a really cool dude. I was.
He cranks it.
I was too young to remember his playing days, but he seems like an awesome guy.
No, he was. It's so funny because you look back at the Chiefs in the 80s, and they didn't have a whole lot of success. They went to the playoffs in 86, and then, of course, when Carl Peterson and Marty Schottenheimer took over in 89, it turned things around. But only one playoff appearance, but so many great players like Carlos Carson and Stephon Page and Daron Cherry and Albert Lewis and Kevin Ross and Bill Moss and all these defensive players. And you look back and think, how in the hell did they only go to one postseason in 10 years?
Yeah.
And so for anyone in any sport, especially now, we should remember that with the Chiefs, don't take the postseason for granted because there are guys like Carlos Carson who played at such a high level, a Chiefs Hall of Fame level, and only got to go to the playoffs one time in a decade with the Chiefs back in the 80s. That still boggles my mind when you look at how talented those rosters were. And so, first question, did you dress up as anything for Halloween last night?
Gosh, I got to admit, I didn't.
Damn it, Matt Beisler.
I did not. We took our daughter to the Prairie Village Shops, mm-hmm. did the trunk or treat.
Right.
It was an early 5 o'clock call. Walked around for a little bit. It was cold.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Really cold. Mm-hmm. And then we made it back home. And we had some chili, and I answered the front door all night.
See, there you go. Now, see, I did the reverse. I went over to my dad's. We had the chili and the chili dogs, and then some more chili. And then we walked around, and so the girls, my 8-year-old twins, they run everything. And so, do you want to walk around? Do you want daddy to drive you door to door? He said, no, we want to walk. We want to walk. And so they're walking, and I think we lasted 45 minutes until, and I was thinking, they're going to have to say they want to go home at some point. Because I was starting to feel it was getting cold, I was getting tired, you know, and they're fired up, and then finally Julie goes, I want to go home and go to bed. I'm tired of this. I said, come on, Julia, let's go, and then run to the car. Let's get the hell out of here. Are you sure you don't want to go to a couple of more houses? And so it worked in reverse. What does Matt Beisler give out to the kids? You said you're answering doors. What candy selection was available at the Beisler household?
We did both. We got 2 bags from Costco. Mm-hmm. We had the chocolate assortment. So you got the Kit Kats, Snickers, Milky Ways, all that. But you also we bought the sugar bag. So you had the Starbursts, the Gobstoppers,
right?
The Swedish Fish, all those. And so whatever tickles your fancy.
What's your favorite?
I'm a Snickers guy.
Right. You like the chocolates? Yeah, I like the Kit Kat and the Reese's peanut butter cups, but I also like the sweet and sour. I like the really sour, like Sour Patch Kids. Nobody gives those out, though. They're too expensive.
Yeah. Last year, we ran out of candy, so we made sure we had 2 huge bags. And, of course, this year, there wasn't as many trick-or-treaters because of the weather, and we were going to be left with a lot of candy. So about halfway through, I started encouraging the kids to take a rather large handful.
There you go.
Yes.
Jake actually was passing out toothbrushes to the kids last night.
He's absolutely
trying to help toothbrushes.
You were that guy?
By. Yep. Yeah. Thanks to Dr. Tuttle.
So I might get a little travel mouthwash,
right?
Perhaps.
Yep.
You get one of those, some floss.
Oral hygiene. Never
some whitening strips.
Yeah. Oh, you gave out the whitening strips?
Yeah.
Boy, you really dug deep yesterday. That's fantastic. Good for you.
You could say that oral hygiene is a treat of its own, you know?
Jeez. Well, Nate Bucati, it's been a big day for you. Carlos Carson, your favorite Chiefs player as a youngster, mm-hmm. and now Matt Beisler's in studio.
I thought about changing out of my Carlos Carson jersey into my Matt Beasler jersey and trying to get an autograph today as well, but I'm holding off because the time to get an autograph from Matt Beasler is tonight from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
So oh, boy. So tell us about this.
So Charlie Hustle, the Charlie Hustle shop that's down on 47th and Broadway, because last time I did a remote at Charlie Hustle, I just said it was on the plaza, and you gave me a really hard time because I didn't know exactly like what, you know, what streets it was on. It's on 47th and Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see?
Look at you.
Yeah, did my research.
Researched and everything else.
Matt's going to be there from 6 to 8 o'clock signing autographing copies of his new book.
Okay. The book.
The book, which I own and I'm about to start. That's my off-season plan. As soon as the season got over, so I'm going to dive into the Matt Beasler book. But at Charlie Hustle today, you can get a bundle where you get a Charlie Hustle T-shirt and the book, and the first 250 of those bundles that are purchased get Matt Beasler personalized autograph.
Oh, really?
So how about that?
I saw the shirt. It's a good-looking shirt.
It is a good-looking shirt.
What are we talking about here? What kind of shirt are we looking at?
The Heart KC, but this is a design they've never done, so it's a special release. They're only making a certain amount of copies to bundle with this book.
Very
nice. Argyle pattern.
I love it. Can I steal that from you?
Yeah, you can.
Awesome.
You can.
Listen to that. I like the way
I already have a copy of the book.
I like
book.
The way Jake wants something, he asks when he gets it.
Can I steal that from you?
Can I steal the shirt and then get you to autograph my book?
We can do that.
I do have a copy from Jake right now.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we've talked briefly about the book before, but let's talk more about it now. So when did you decide to write the book and take us through what the process was like actually getting this thing done? Because I've said, like, I'm going to write a book. And mm-hmm. I want to write a book about my dad. And then my dad threatened me and said, you better not write anything about me. And I said, okay, we'll wait. We'll wait a little bit longer. So that's on hold. And so for you, tell me about this idea and then how long it took to actually execute it.
I've been working on it for on and off for about a year and a half. So it took a while. And the book idea for me, it had always been something that I was interested in. The timing was never right. So I'd been approached a couple times by different publishing companies, and they asked if I wanted to do a book or a quick autobiography. And I politely declined just because, like I said, the timing wasn't right. Over the years, I've had certain opportunities to start writing, little blog entries or posts on, the Players Tribune website. I wrote a couple posts for the Kansas City Star, letters like that, and I realized that I enjoyed the process. I enjoyed writing. And so, rewind to about a year ago, year and a half ago, and I suffered a concussion at the beginning of the season. And one of the things the doctors recommended me doing was to start keeping a journal. And they said, writing in this journal will actually help your brain. Instead of staring at a computer screen or your phone all day, stay away from those things, but start writing, because that's going to, help your brain recover. And so that's what I started doing. I started writing more, and that's when I really got into it and worked with a local Kansas City-based company, publishing company, and I went back to them, and we kind of worked with each other for an idea of writing a book. And it morphed into a couple different things, but the end product is basically a collection of stories, posts, blogs, inspirational advice that I would give to people of all ages.
So it's a little bit of everything. Like you said, good for all ages, and it's a collection of different things that you put together over
the years. That was actually one of the biggest challenges, was when I was writing this book, when I was sitting down on an airplane, traveling to a game, I would sit down and write a little bit. And I was trying to keep different audiences in mind.
Right.
Because I did not want to just write to a soccer fan.
Just like just write to Nate. You'd want to do that.
I don't know if I thought about Nate specifically when I was writing.
So
you to avoid
book?
That.
There's no haikus
possible,
or anything like that.
Man.
No, but it
chapter 8.
Yeah.
Nate.
Two Nates.
I hope that I accomplished that. We'll see. But like you said, it's got something for everybody. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you love soccer or you're just getting into it. You'll hopefully enjoy it.
So I'm curious about this. Any athlete, any competitor is going to have their list of triumphs and list of failures that happened in their career. There's no athlete has just one or the other, right? You've had a lot of amazing triumphs. You've won 4 trophies in your time with Sporting Kansas City. You've played in the biggest sports competition in the world, the World Cup in Brazil, which is one of the most iconic soccer countries. You've played against and had a huge game, successful game, against what many people say is the greatest player in the history of your sport in Cristiano Ronaldo. You've had disappointments and heartache along the way too. When you were writing about, when you were looking back on your life and writing these things, do you find it easier to write about the triumphs or the failures? You know what I mean? Is it easier to look back on those things or harder to look back on the triumphs or the failures?
Yeah, that's a good question. For this book, it was easier to write about the failures because this book, I try to include a life lesson in every story that I tell. And so, you know, when do you learn the most about yourself? When do you learn those life lessons? They're usually through the failures, not the triumphs. And yeah, that's a great question, though. That's something that I was not expecting going into the book. I thought, let's include, these stories about, how great it was to play in the World Cup. Those are actually harder to write because, you want to try and, include your voice and you want to try and include something people can take away after reading it. But the ones that actually, flowed better were the failures.
When you find these inspirational things out of disappointments that have happened, when you look back on it, inspirational things come to you naturally? Did you have to seek them out from somebody else? Like, hey, how do I cope with this? How do I deal with this and become better from it? Or do you find in your life that those have been kind of self-attained, so to speak?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I think there's certain moments that happen and you know right away that, all right, this is a tough moment, but I'm gonna come through this stronger. And then there's other moments that you struggle with a lot longer than you might think. And it might take you a month or two or a full season to get over with. And then you realize later on down the road that, okay, I learned a lot about myself a year or two ago when I was going through some of these failures. But, I think that the other thing that I want to add is a lot of the inspiration came from fans. What happens to me sometimes is, at appearances or even just out in the public is, a fan will come up and, I do my best to interact with them, and they usually ask a couple of questions. And the frustrating thing for me sometimes is I never really get to answer them because you're always in a public setting or you're at an appearance and you can't really talk to them. And so I've always, like I said, I've been frustrated that I haven't really been able to give them the time to answer it honestly. So like a question, what can my son do to get a college scholarship? When I'm passing them in the public, it's like, they can get good grades and
how many times
practice.
Have you been asked that question, you think?
A lot. probably 50
right.
in my life. Yeah. And I answer it, very generically. But now here in this book, I take the time to actually sit down and say, all right, if somebody's asking me this question and I actually have the time to explain what I would suggest, let's write about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. So there's different examples like that. What's my biggest regret in high school? Sometimes I get that question.
What is it?
I write about that. It's actually not playing basketball my senior year. I think about that a lot.
Not playing. So you didn't play basketball because of soccer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so how good were you on the basketball?
I don't know if I was that good, but I definitely was a part of the team.
Right.
And I grew up playing basketball.
And you
every
really,
year.
You, and you loved it.
I loved it. Loved it. It was winter time for me is basketball.
Right.
It's sometimes hard for me to go out and play soccer. It's that's meant for basketball to me. And, I grew up playing with my classmates for so many years, and it was really hard at the time to, you're a senior and you're in the stands and you're watching your classmates that you grew up playing with.
Were they good, like your senior year?
Yeah, they were pretty good. I don't know exactly how far. I think they made it to – they might have made it to the state tournament. They might have made it – they got knocked out in the quarterfinals.
And you could have been a part of that, so that makes you right.
Yeah, and so it was really
hard.
Were
they mad at you?
What?
Were they mad at you that you didn't play?
No, I was mad at them. I was feeling pressure with soccer.
Yeah,
and I had some soccer conflicts, and I was feeling, you know, in today's society about specializing in one sport, and so I made the tough decision not to play. And gosh, I really do. I think about it a lot more than you would probably imagine. You know, anytime I'm a big college basketball fan, and anytime,
like, would
I'm
you have started? Would you have been the starting five? You've been a role player, sixth man. Like, what kind of game did you have?
I would have been in the starting five. Yeah, I was.
So I think Nate's question is, are they mad at you for?
Yeah,
for,
what I'm saying is, like, hey man, you bailed on us. You didn't play. And
we made it to
better.
State quarters.
Would
we could have been in the final.
Matt Beasler have meant a.
You guys
state...
will have to read the book.
Would you?
Yeah,
would
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Point, yeah. Would you have made the difference to for a state championship for your school?
I guess we'll have to find out.
Were you that
read
good?
The book.
I mean, I feel like you would have been a defensive stopper for sure.
I was a combo guard. You know, I was.
Oh, really? You could handle the ball and everything, huh?
Handle, but I could also drive a little bit. Yeah.
We hear a lot of about Nate's high school basketball exploits. You think you would have just off the top of your head? Do you feel like you were a better high school basketball talent than Nate?
I
very tenacious
I
look
so.
At him. Very,
yeah,
I hope so.
He hopes so.
We're, you know, we're Jake sitting here with a Jake professional on, athlete right. compared to a mediocre,
the,
you know.
Jake was on Metro Sports in a basketball game, like a game of the week.
Yeah.
That's called by Duke Fry. It was a long head of hair.
Yeah, we played the Rush Brothers. man, we were terrible my senior year. We were actually leading at halftime.
Yeah, that's a lie.
And no, it's not a lie. We were. I still have the video. I scored a couple of buckets on Jerron.
That does not surprise me at all. He goes, I still have the video. Well, I scored a couple of buckets on Jerron.
I came across it this weekend. Another story for another time.
At the 7:32 mark. I mean, I can't really remember. But
right. No, but
I got dunked on by Earl Watson.
There you go. I remember there's a point in time in the third quarter where Kareem went up to Jerron. He goes, enough of this BS. And then at that point in time, then Kareem went on to hammer down two dunks, one of them which broke the corner of the rim, and they went on to trounce us. And they had a guard, Sean Dunstan, who could just light it up from the outside.
Jake, I honestly might have been at that game.
Is that Aquinas?
It was the Thanksgiving.
The winter.
It was the winter
tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad used to take me to that because it was it got some of the best talent in Kansas City.
But yeah, and even like
Jake Gutierrez.
Yeah. Like if you remember, like T.J. Pugh, his team came down from Omaha. I mean, it was like one of the biggest tournaments in the Midwest.
A few years ago, I got to see David Lee.
Yeah.
From Chaminade.
Yeah.
He came in from St. Louis to play in that tournament. So a few years ago, I actually met David Lee when he was playing with the New York Knicks, and I came up to him, and we were talking about soccer. We were playing with a national team game up there, and I actually brought that up. I said, dude, I remember you were throwing down dunks in high school at St. Thomas Aquinas. He just looked at me with the blankest stare ever. I felt like the biggest idiot.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sure. Yeah.
Another St. Louis player that
got away
to go to Mizzou, but Konzo Martin's going to change that, JD.
Right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well.
He went to, did he float, was
he,
it Florida?
He went to Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
You know, just like there's been this unending pipeline of NBA-level players in St. Louis that won't go to Missouri because, long story.
Should we go through the list?
No, thank you. But David Lee's on. He's on it.
Ben McElmore.
But now Konzo's going to change it. All right, so for the book, so it's got different anecdotes like that, and is there anything, like, to me, whenever I'd write, I was an English major, and so I wrote a lot to get through college, and I do really want to write a book at some point. What was always the hardest for me whenever I write something was to edit it and try to, if I had to, you know, make it fit, you know, into certain parameters and leaving stuff out, and I don't want to leave anything out. Was that hard for you? Did you have things that just you couldn't get into the book that you maybe had to leave out, like the editing process? What's that? Like, that's always been the most difficult thing for me. Like, okay, this is a great story, but it's not going to fit here or just too much. Or...
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I encountered that. And I will say I never understood how much actually goes into a book. I have a great appreciation for authors and editors and publishers. I learned a lot in the process. I loved it. I enjoyed it. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But yeah, the beauty of this book is that it's not a traditional book where it goes through in chronological order or it's an autobiography. It bounces around with different ideas and different advice. And so that worked out for me because I could just kind of pick and plug and if I wanted to include something. But There's multiple stories, lessons, triumphs that I couldn't include, and one of them. Do we have time, real quick?
Absolutely.
2 minutes. One of them that I do remember, it was actually one of the first entries that I wrote.
If he says break, just ignore him. That's okay. What we do around here. Yeah. So be part of the show, please.
Was when I was back.
No, if I'm getting that T-shirt, you can do whatever you want.
Okay, there you go.
It was when I was back in middle school, and this is a lighthearted story, but I was. I wanted to bring up the first time that I encountered a major conflict between sports and school. Because, again, that's one of the questions that I get asked all the time by parents and fans. How do you balance school and sports? And so I went and I thought about the first time that I really struggled with that or had a big decision of trying to, you know, balance these things. And it went back to in sixth grade, and we had a vocal music class. I am not very talented in the vocal music, and so I was really nervous for this class. But on the first day of class, our teacher told me, she sat the class down, she goes, "This is a participation grade. If you show up, if you give effort, if you sing, you'll get an A." And she said, "The only other requirement is that you have to come to the end of the season choir concert that we have. All the parents are going to come. You have to make it. Here's the date. Here's the time, so you can go home and put it on your calendar. There's no excuses."
Sounds reasonable.
Reasonable, right? Long story short, we fast forward to the end of the year. I'm right in line to get an A because I've been participating, and we look at the schedule, and I've got a baseball game that night. It was an early season baseball game, so this concert was at the end of the season in the spring. So an early season baseball game. Looked at my parents. I said, "No chance I'm going to the choir concert. I'm going to the baseball game."
Was this Brian McCray's baseball team?
This was.
So what did your parents say?
And so we worked through it, and they said, "You know what? You have to go to the concert." And I said, "I'm not going to the concert. I'm not. I don't care about singing right now. I care about baseball. I got to be there. My teammates need me. All these things." So we went in with a parent's note to the teacher, and she just kind of shook her head, and she goes, "Well, you know, if you end up missing the concert, you know, I'm going to have to deduct your grade. It's this thing's for half your grade, and I'm going to have to give you a C." And so that scared me. And so, long story short, we worked out a plan where I could go to half of the choir concert and half of my baseball game. And so I thought that was fair.
Was BMAC down for that?
BMAC was down for
that. Okay.
So anyways, here's the story. Here's the fun detail. So I was stressing all week long about how I'm going to make this work. Obviously, I'm not driving or anything like that. So I went to the lengths of organizing my mom's minivan with my jersey before the concert. I laid everything out. I actually moved back the seat in the back to give me more room to change.
Right.
Because I was going to rush in after the concert, change, and then go to my baseball game. The issue that I was having was, and you guys will appreciate this, in sixth grade, you know, that I think that's right around the age where you start wearing a cup.
Sure.
And well, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are kind of hard to get on when you're first, you know, experimenting with wearing a cup. And so I was really worried about it. And I said, I don't know if I can put a cup on in the car while we're driving over there. So my only option was to wear the cup at the choir concert.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Sure.
It was going to save me at least 30 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And I was going to be flying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me and my buddy are in the middle of the choir concert, and I lean over to him. His name was Wade, and I go, "Hey, you're not going to believe this. I'm wearing a cup."
Right.
And he looked at me. He goes, "No." He goes, "Prove it." So I'm sitting there in the choir concert, knocking on my cup. I'm wearing the Dockers slacks.
Look at this guy.
The Dockers slacks.
Right.
Unfortunately, I don't think we have any video evidence
of
this. I know. It's the first thing I thought about. I go, somebody's got to have this on camera. And so, yeah. Anyways, long story short, I went to the choir concert. I actually think that I got deducted for knocking on my cup during singing the songs.
Was it at least in rhythm to the song?
Yeah.
Because I still got a B. She gave me a B after all this.
Did your parents see you doing this?
Yeah. No, they didn't see me doing
like,
this.
Mr.
I don't think so.
Your son is knocking at his crotch during the song. I feel like we're going to have to deduct some points here.
You know,
oh boy,
it's a percussion instrument.
I also don't remember how we did in the baseball game, but I'm going to say we won.
Yeah, sure.
But for the story,
you know what? But you remember the concert, don't you?
I do.
For
let
other
that
reasons.
Be a lesson to you kids out there.
So for you now, we were just talking about life in the off season. How long does it take for you to unwind and decompress? And obviously, it helps now that you got a family. You're a dad. Anyone that's mm-hmm. a dad knows that'll take. Any free time that you think you have, it'll be quickly taken up, and that's the great thing about having kids. It can make you forget about stuff, but how long does it take you to come down after a long season and everything, all the ups and downs? How long does it take for you mentally to decompress?
It takes a while. It takes at least a couple weeks, and I told my wife this too. I said, give me a couple weeks to process stuff, to be pissed off, to... you know, be disappointed, whatever it is that you need to be, and then we'll move forward from there, and we'll process the season and analyze it and get better, because that's all you can do. I think I've had a couple of days to really think about the season, and if I had to very quickly kind of assess what happened, it's just disappointing. It is. We left some food on the table. If that makes sense.
It does.
And that's how we feel about it. We really feel like we had a talented enough team to make a legit run at the MLS Cup, and we came up short. So, there was definitely positives to the season. We won the Open Cup mid-season, which is great. We acclimated a lot of new players to our team. There was some new faces that really stepped up and that are going to help us going forward in years to come. So there's positives, but right now the disappointment of not being able to make a farther run to get that home playoff game for our fans, because they deserve it. It's been way too long. And so, yeah, just going forward, we have to use this to motivate us.
Yeah, 'cause I remember talking to a couple of the Chiefs players. I asked 10 or 11 different players at training camp. So after the loss in the playoffs to the Steelers, did you go back? Have you gone back and watched it yet? Some guys said, yeah, I've watched it 3 or 4 times. I want to know what went wrong. I want to figure things out. Some guys at that point still hadn't watched it and didn't have any plans to watch it unless they were going to have to. You know what I mean? And so for you, when you're done with the season, do you think about it and think about everything and go through everything in your mind right away? Or do you give yourself a period of time where, look, I can't think about it. I don't want to think about soccer. I want to think about something else.
Yeah, so I'm not the biggest guy to go back and rewatch games.
Right.
So I'd be on the end of not watching it. I don't want to see it. There's still games that I haven't even touched that I haven't watched.
Despite the amazing commentary, though, you don't just want to go back and watch it for that. Yeah. I mean,
how some people say they'll turn down the commentary and just watch the game.
Yeah.
Matt turns off the video, just listens to you,
yeah.
just
yeah.
what you have to say, right? Just to go through.
If
some
I do watch it, I'll make sure it's on mute.
Right.
Sad. Single tear. So you're not big on going back and watching it yourself, is what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I can remember certain plays, and the crazy thing about this is when you get knocked out, you do start thinking and going back to earlier in the season, and the way our league works, it's so tight with points, and you start second guessing yourself,
right.
And we missed out on a home playoff game by 1 point again this year,
yep.
And so you go back and you start thinking about all the opportunities that you had to just get 1 point.
Yeah,
and it's crazy. I mean, you'll lose sleep when you start thinking about it. There's games where, we were winning and we had 3 points and we gave up a goal with 20 seconds left in the game, and then all of a sudden we lose 2 points. If you go back and make one more play, that's 2 points right there, and it completely changes the opportunities that you have.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing to me is, this frustration this year, it's not about the game in Houston. It's about the fact that the game was in Houston.
Yep.
And it's what moment can you find earlier in the season or in those last 5 games or whatever just to get that extra win. But you said something that sticks out to me. You said it's been far too long for our fans. I mean, the team won MLS Cup in 2013. And I applaud that approach from Sporting Kansas City that feels like a long time ago. because, you know, as Chiefs fans, we're sitting here saying we'd like to get to the Super Bowl in our lifetime because it's been since 1970 or whatever. But I do get the sense that, and you tell me if I'm wrong, like the frustration right now is that is the familiarity of how it's ended 4 years in a row. Like it just seems so. It seems so much like deja vu. Is that what makes the frustration so much? Is it just been the same story kind of 4 years in a row?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That's what makes it tough. And look, we have extremely high expectations. That's something that I've learned and realized over the last couple of years. But that's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, I embrace that. And when you fall short, you have to raise your hand and take responsibility. And you know, that's a the way the last 4 years have ended, it's a reflection on the veterans and the core group that's been here, and that shouldn't sit well with us. Just like it shouldn't sit well with the fans, and they want more, and we're okay with that. Like I said, we embrace that, and you know that's why we're frustrated right now because we want more. You know, it's all about perspective. You know, some people might be happy with making the playoffs, and but we're about winning championships, and when we don't. We don't feel good about it.
I feel like you could write a whole other book about this year.
Yeah, I mean, I probably could.
From painting the wall to the national team stuff to all this, like you think you'll write a sequel at some point?
Maybe. I really did enjoy it.
You think you put me in this one? well, there, Matt.
Just one chapter. Just
maybe
just
mention my name in the next book.
If you need somebody to write the foreword, you know.
The next time, a game comes up and we have a bet, we'll do a bet, and if I lose. Then we will. I'll handshake on it. And if I write another book, I will dedicate a section to Nate.
Speaking of bets,
by the way, if you want to go to do an audio version of the book, I'll do it just to beat Nate to the punch.
You
want the deep, deep voice?
Really, he would actually be phenomenal narrator.
Yeah. So let's do that.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that.
Really dramatic.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's dramatic cool. reading of Matt Beasler's new book
about my cup.
Right. Well, I'd love to.
Speaking of bets, though, Jake and I had a bet. That we haven't settled up.
What is it?
From our, I believe if the when my team played against Jake's team in the over 30 league,
there it
you
is.
Offered up as once you retire that you would sign up with one of our teams. Was that official? Was that an official thing?
I don't know if that maybe.
Well, I don't remember. Steven, are you officiating this? I don't know. I don't remember.
All I know is that my team won 8-0, so, you know.
I don't think it was official.
Let's talk.
How'd that rematch go? Oh.
You didn't play, and we drew.
Still on my team.
Somehow.
It's still my team. We tied
There was no bet placed on that game.
Yeah, because
we'll figure this out.
Let's talk in 6 or 7 years when I'm done playing.
Matt Beasler, again, will be at Charlie Hustle on the Plaza, 47th and Broadway, tonight for the pre-release of the book No Other Home. You will be there from 6 until 8 o'clock, and you can get the exclusive Casey Hart t-shirt and the Matt Beasler book. You buy the bundle. Matt will be signing the first 250, so you get the shirt, you get the book, and signed by Matt Beasler. And so I know you always enjoy meeting with fans, and like you said, that's one of the inspirations for writing the book. So I know you're looking forward to tonight, 6 until 8 o'clock.
Yep.
One thing I'll add to it, too, they have youth sizes. So if you got a kid out there whose hero is Matt Beasler, they've got youth size shirts. And if you do the youth bundle, a kid size shirt and book, you are registered to win a private Matt Beasler book reading at your school.
You're behind this, aren't you, Nate? So you can get a youth size shirt.
Right. I'll take a youth large.
Is there a way we can have a bundle for youth sizes so I can get one?
Benjamin and Ophelia have purchased five bundles each.
Unbelievable.
So we'll see. A book reading.
Well, Matt, congratulations on the book. I hope it does well, and I'm sure that all the Sporting Kansas City fans, and even if you're not a Sporting Kansas City huge fan, like you said, it's something for everyone. Life lessons, advice, and athletic supporters and cups and things like that.
Yeah, thanks, wonderful guys. I hope everybody enjoys it. It's a fun and quick, easy read.
Well, that's Matt Beasler. Follow him on Twitter. Matt Beasler is his handle. We'll be right back after this on WHB.